Jock and Royd were sitting at the kitchen table when she entered the room. Royd looked as comfortable as a tiger forced to balance on a stool. Tiger. Yes, that description was very apt. "I poured your coffee." Jock gestured to the chair beside him. "Sit down. We have to talk to Royd." She shook her head. "Sit down," Jock repeated. "You've enough trouble on your plate. You don't need Royd to come down on you." She hesitated, and then slowly sat down. "Did you recognize the man in the bedroom?" He shook his head. "And neither did Royd, but we may hear soon. He used his phone to take a photo of him and sent it to his man at Sanborn's facility." She stiffened. "His man?" "He hired a man to go undercover and get information from Sanborn's files. He works with the video monitors in the security center at the plant." "Why did he do that?" "He doesn't like Sanborn," Jock said. "I'd say on the same scale that you don't." "Why?" Her gaze searched Jock's face as she recalled everything Royd had said to her in those moments in her bedroom. And then Jock had said they'd gone to the same school. She felt sickness churn through her. "Another one? Like you, Jock?" Jock nodded. "A little different circumstances, but the result was much the same." "Oh, God." "We're not talking about me," Royd said. "I'm not hearing anything that convinces me she's not in Sanborn's pocket, Jock." Jock was silent a moment. "2 years ago, her father shot her mother, tried to kill her son, and ended up shooting Sophie before he killed himself. No apparent reason. The attack came out of the blue." Royd's cool glance shifted to Sophie. "One of your experiments that backfired?" "No." Her stomach twisted. "God, no." "Rough," Jock said quietly. "Too rough, Royd." Royd's gaze never left Sophie's face. "It's possible. How do we know?" She shook her head. "I would never. I loved him. I loved both of them." "And you weren't to blame for anything. Your name figured prominently in Sanborn's file on the initial experiments on REM-4, but it didn't mean a thing."
"I didn't say that."
She reached blindly for the coffee in front of her. "It meant something. It meant everything." "Why? How?" She felt as if he were battering her, ripping at her. "I was to blame. It was my fault. All of it was..."
"Easy, Sophie."
Jock reached out and covered her hand.
"I can tell him later. You don't have to go through this."
"You can't protect me." She moistened her lips. "And I can't hide from what I did. I have to face it every day. Every time I look at Michael and know I..." She stopped, and then her eyes lifted to Royd's face. "And nothing you can say can make me feel any worse than I do now. You can tear open the wound, but it can't go any deeper. You want to know what happened? I was young and smart and thought I could change the world. I was fresh out of medical school and went to work for Sanborn Pharmaceutical because they promised me I could devote my time to working on research I'd been doing on the side all through med school. I'd gotten a doctorate in chemistry, as well as medicine, and I was specializing in sleep disorders because my father had been plagued by insomnia and night terrors most of the years of my childhood. I thought I could help him and other people like him."
"How?"
"I developed a process to chemically induce the subject to immediately go to REM-4, the most psychologically active level of sleep. While in that state, it was also possible to give suggestions to encourage pleasant dreams, instead of night terrors, even to rid the subject of insomnia. Sanborn was very excited and enthusiastic. He coaxed me to bypass the FDA and go to Amsterdam for tests. He wanted it kept top secret, until we were sure they were as promising as we thought they'd be. He didn't have to work very hard to persuade me into getting on the fast track. I knew the FDA took forever to approve anything, and I had complete faith in the safety of the process. The tests were amazingly successful. People who'd been victims of terrors all their lives were free of them. They became happier, more productive people, with no obvious side effects. I was over the moon."
"And?"
"Sanborn said we had to slow down. He took the tests out of my hands and tried to persuade me to turn over the research I'd done for all the enhancements for REM-4. When I refused, he shut me out. I was angry and frustrated,
but I didn't suspect anything criminal. She paused. But I wanted to know how the tests were going, so I went to the lab and rifled through the files one night. She drew a ragged breath. You can guess what I found. They were using the vulnerability that the drug induced to develop mind control. There was correspondence between Sanborn and a General Bach about the advantage that such control could offer during wartime. I went to Sanborn and told him I was quitting, taking my research, and opting out. I could tell he was angry, but then he seemed to simmer down. The next day, I had two lawyers knocking on the door. They claimed since I was employed by Sanborn at the time, the research was legally his. I could either sign a release or go to court. Her lips twisted. You know what chance I would have had against Sanborn's legal eagles. I didn't want to pursue the research any further. It was clearly too potentially dangerous. But I didn't want Sanborn to go forward with it in his direction either. I told him I'd go to the media and tell them what he was doing if he continued the mind control experiments. He agreed. I thought I'd won. I got another job with a university hospital in Atlanta and tried to put it all behind me. Without proof Sanborn was complying? I had friends in the lab. There was an excellent chance that I'd be told if he wasn't. A chance? All right, I was naive. I should have gone to the media right away, but I'd spent most of my adult life studying medicine, and I didn't want to blow it. Those lawyers would have made mincemeat of my career and my life. She drew a deep breath. And the experiment stopped. I checked periodically during the next 6 months, and the project was shut down. And after 6 months? Her hands tightened on her cup. After that, I didn't have to worry about my life exploding in my face. It already had. I went fishing one day with my father and mother. Jock told you what happened. My father went crazy. One moment he was perfectly loving and sane, and the next he'd killed the woman he'd loved for most of his life.